Okay, welcome to those of you in the gathering just joining us. 5 minutes late, thanks for waiting for us. Here we are in the book of Matthew, chapter 5. If you have a Bible, let's open there together as we continue our journey through the Beatitudes, the blessings of God on those who follow Him. Blessed are the gentle or the meek. This is the third beatitude of the first message Jesus preached, at least recorded for us in the scriptures, in which he was announcing the arrival of his kingdom. We've already examined, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who mourn, and this morning, blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, just as we've already examined, blessed are the poor in spirit, and blessed are those who mourn, how strange that must have been to say, happy are the sad, happy are the bankrupt, now happy are the gentle or the meek, must have been a cultural collision in the minds of Jesus' listeners. Because due to the style of leadership they had observed in the religious elite of their day, who lorded it over those under them, or perhaps seeing the Roman army that was occupying the promised land of Jerusalem, all Jews probably must have heard this word, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, to be somewhat surprising. In fact, they themselves were anticipating that a Messiah would come and deliver them from all rule, and they would themselves rule with God, but they were now subject to other rule. So now this invitation to be happy if you're gentle or meek, what's meant here? Well, Jesus was using a word in Greek that meant originally soft or mild. It was used in literature outside of the Bible to refer to what someone would do with an animal who was a wild beast and it would be trained and brought under control so that it would be meek. When Jesus used this word, blessed are the humble, it was a word that Jesus meant not weak, not wimpy, not merely soft, but something under the control of something greater. Not merely empty of self-motivation or self-advancement or self-promotion, but a gentleness that Jesus referred to here is a resting in the control and strength of God. It was Jesus himself who said he was meek. It was a label he used of himself in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. We'll put this on the screen, Matthew 11, 28. And Jesus gave us this invitation, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble. And you'll find rest for your soul, for my yoke is easy and my load is light. When Jesus came into Jerusalem near the end of his life, he came in riding on a donkey, meek, lowly. This is the description he used of himself. And it is the kind of description that he says to us today, you will be blessed if you are meek. Blessed are the meek or the gentle, for they shall inherit the kingdom. Now, this is culturally contrary for us as well, isn't it? I mean, this is just not on the list when you say, this is what I want out of life. I want to be a meek and gentle person. Because the meek and the gentle in our culture don't inherit much. Those who inherit are those who get to the front of the line and push their way to get there. Those who climb the corporate ladder and do all they can to get up there. Those who achieve out of their own self-initiative. And here is Jesus saying, blessed are those who are meek or gentle, for you shall inherit the kingdom of God. So it does beg the question, where does this kind of disposition come from, and why is it so necessary? Well, I'll tell you that from Galatians chapter 5, another verse that we'll put on the screen, it comes from God's work in our life, that the fruit of the Spirit of God is, let's read it together, is love, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. These are the qualities which God produces in a life that yields to Him. A life that comes to Him and says, I am poor in spirit. I mourn over my sin. I am meek. I'm empty. It's becoming devoid of self and humbling ourselves before the Lord that is the sense of this meekness and gentleness that Jesus refers to as the third beatitude. But all throughout the Scripture, it is also referred to as the kind of disposition that is the mark of a truly Christian person. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, Paul says, I urge you, as the prisoner of the Lord, and I entreat you to walk in a manner that's worthy of your calling with all humility and gentleness. That the kind of life that is worthy of your calling in Christ is a gentle walk. And those chosen of God, he said to the Colossians, put on a heart of compassion with kindness, humility, and gentleness. And all through the New Testament, you can see this attitude as the signifying mark of a person who's under the rule of Christ. So this gentleness, where does it come from? Well, it comes from the work of God in our life. And Jesus said, if God works in your heart to bring you to humility before Him and to an emptiness before Him so that you would say, I have nothing. And what I do have is sin, and I mourn over that. So they go like this. The first two Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit who mourn over their sin. Those two go together. And the next two go together also, I think. Blessed are the gentle. For they shall inherit the earth. And the next one is, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. I think these first four go together this way. Blessed are the poor in spirit. You have nothing. What you do have is sin, so you mourn. Blessed are the humble, or the meek, or the gentle. You have nothing, and so you hunger for righteousness. And those go together. We'll look at that more next week. But this broken, humble spirit that I have nothing, and I come before the Lord with a gentleness, perhaps the way to describe it is this, that meekness is the internal attitude, and gentleness is the way it manifests itself in your relationships with others. So I was thinking this week about some of the ways we have seen non-meekness from religious people. And I would just take the opportunity this morning to say to you that it's my personal assessment reading this and knowing the Scriptures that the kind of demonstration that's been made in certain places with grotesque signs of antagonistic slogans in the name of Christ are not in the spirit of gentleness. And that the contentious kind of display that's been made by religious people, even pastors, to antagonize other people, even by burning their literature, is not a part of what Jesus had in mind when he said, blessed are the gentle. In fact, if we were to make an answer to those who disagreed with us, we might be better to go to Peter, who in 1 Peter chapter 3 said, sanctify the Lord Jesus in your heart, and always be ready to make a defense for anyone who asks of you about your faith in Christ, yet with gentleness and reverence. And I think that's the way we get the sense of what was in Jesus' mind when he said, blessed are the meek, blessed are the gentle. So perhaps the best way to understand what was in Jesus' mind here is to think about biblical examples for us that will help us understand what it means to be meek, what it means to be gentle, and who comes to your mind. Those who have endured mistreatment are the most likely to demonstrate gentleness. And if you want to see perhaps the epitome of a gentle spirit, a meek spirit, you might look at those who are under the control of God but experiencing hardship. And a couple people come to my mind. In fact, it was said of Moses, for example, in Numbers chapter 12, that Moses was a very humble man, more than any man who was on the face of the earth. Why was that said of Moses? Well, Moses was called by God to lead a very stubborn people. Would you like that job? I would not like that job. And you're not like that, are you? No, you're not. He was called to lead a very obstinate people who often retreated in their commitment to follow God. And he quietly, humbly led them. And in fact, he said of himself, "Who am I and how could I ever do this?" He had a self-assessment that was probably too low. And at times he had an assessment of God that was also too low. And the way that God addressed him with his fear of not being able to lead this people was to give Moses a bigger view of himself and said, "Can't you trust me?" But Moses was called a humble and meek man. How about David? You want to turn with me to the Old Testament. If you look for a moment at 1 Samuel, let's go back and examine an instance in which David demonstrated the kind of meekness and gentleness that is characteristic of those who are under the rule of God. So David, in 1 Samuel chapter 24, is being pursued. It came about, 1 Samuel 24, verse 1, that when Saul returned from pursuing the Philistines, he was told, saying, "David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi." And Saul took 3,000 chosen men from all of Israel and went to seek David and his men from the rocks of the wild goats. Now here's the king of Israel, Saul, chasing the next king of Israel, David, out of jealousy and bitter anger and hatred. And Saul came to the sheepfolds on the way, where there was a cave, and Saul went in to relieve himself. Here's Saul, the king, and he goes into this cave. Now David and his men were deep inside the cave. And the men of David said, "Behold, this is the day which the Lord gave you, David, or I am going to give your enemy into your hand, and you shall do to him what seems good to you." So, allow your imagination to run here for a moment. While Saul is in the cave, doing what nature calls him, he lays his robe aside, and David is in the cave, and David comes and arises and cuts off the edge of Saul's robe secretly. And it came about afterward that David's conscience bothered him because he had cut off the edge of Saul's robe, so that he said to his men, "Far be it from me, because of the Lord, that I do this thing to my Lord, Saul, the Lord's anointed, Saul, and stretch out my hand against him, since he is the Lord's anointed." And David persuaded his men with these words, and he did not allow his men to rise up against Saul. And Saul left the cave and went his way. Oh, why do I tell you that? Because David was being terribly mistreated, as some of you have been. And everything in him would have said, "I have a right to take this matter in my own hands and respond any way I want to. And here is my enemy who's trying to kill me." And he could have taken his life, but he didn't. And I would suggest to you that this glimpse into the life of David is part of the meekness that says, "My rights are given me by God, and when I'm being mistreated, I entrust myself to God. And I'm gentle. I'm meek. I do not take out vengeance of my own, but I give place for God to do what he wants to do." I think that's a demonstration for us of an Old Testament character. I can think of another one. How about Joseph? How about Joseph, who was terribly mistreated by his brothers, sold into slavery? And then if you look at Genesis 45, which we won't take time to do this morning, you'll get a glimpse of Joseph, who could have easily carried out justice to his brothers. But in gentleness, he treats them well, and he cares for them, and he loves them, operating out of a spirit not of revenge, not of violence, not of, "I'm going to make this even." There are a lot of children in the church today. Have you ever felt like, "If I could only get even"? I want to just tell you that the spirit that Jesus is referring to here of a meekness, of a gentleness, is a spirit that says, God knows what's happening to me, and I trust him. And I can be humble and meek and gentle in this circumstances where my first response might be to get even. You could go to the New Testament and see number of illustrations. I thought of Stephen this week. Stephen, who was being stoned. And if you'd like to turn with me to Acts chapter 7, we'll look at this example before I suggest two more. Acts chapter 7. Stephen had just preached a very moving, stirring, and convicting sermon. And in Acts chapter 7 and verse 54, he brings it down to a conclusion. And when they heard the message, they were cut to the quick, and they began gnashing their teeth at him. Can you imagine a preacher standing up today in the audience, you know, wanting to tear him limb from limb? I've never had that experience here either, for which I thank you. Verse 55, Stephen, though full of the Holy Spirit, which is the key to gentleness, gazed intently on heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And they cried out all the louder, and they covered their ears, and they rushed on him with one impulse. And when they had driven him out of the city, they began to stone Stephen. And one witness laid aside their robe at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they went on stoning Stephen as he called on the name of the Lord. Lord, receive my spirit. And then falling down to his knees as he was pummeled with stones and boulders, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this against them. And when he said that, he breathed his last. What's that? That's meekness. That's a spirit of gentleness that says, my rights? What are my rights? My rights are from the Lord. He's the Lord God. What happens to me, he knows. And I trust him. Is there a sweeter picture than a gentle person, a humble person, who doesn't come into a room and necessarily direct all the attention to themselves? Doesn't necessarily have to be at the top, on their game. Some of you in this room know what it's like to be mistreated. And you've been in this circumstance where you have, you've been wronged. And you know, I do too. I do too. And this is part of what Jesus said when he said, blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who are humble. Blessed are those who lose. Blessed are those who are devoid of privilege, who lose things and are humble and remain meek and gentle before the Lord and before other people. And when perhaps in a deal someone's trying to squeeze every last penny out of you, or perhaps in some kind of relationship you're being neglected or you're losing all the time, blessed are the gentle. To pastors, Paul told Timothy that the Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting. Because when the Spirit of God is in control of a life, gentleness in relationships manifests itself. And Jesus said, blessed are the gentle, blessed are the meek. Why? Because they're going to inherit the earth. And we would probably say just the opposite, that those who inherit, those who get to the front of the line, those who get privilege, are those who assert themselves and are strong and say, yes, I will, or yes, I can, and they're self-directed. But not so the meek. And the meek shall inherit the earth. What does that mean? That simply means that the meek are going to be those who are going to be a part of the restored and rescued earth. That at the end of the age, when Christ comes and he restores the earth, those who will be participants in the kingdom with him will be the meek. Not the self-assured, but the humble. You've heard this. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that in due time he may exalt you. When's the due time? Well, in the end. The meek shall inherit the earth. If we needed to look at one more epitome of an example who was mistreated and stayed gentle, who would it be? Could be Job, and it could be Jesus. One from the Old Testament, one from the New Testament. How about Jesus in 1 Peter, who while he was reviled, did not revile in return? But 1 Peter tells us he kept entrusting himself to the one who judges righteously. Meekness demonstrates itself when we're wronged, most significantly. And all of us will be that. I think when Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek," he was again turning their cultural understanding for what it means to be a righteous person on its head. And I want to remind you this morning that the Lord crowns the humble with salvation. And when Jesus said that, "Blessed are the meek and the gentle, for they shall inherit," he was promising an eternal reward for those who followed him. You remember the words of Paul where he said, "All things belong to you"? All things belong to you. And you belong to Christ. And Christ belongs to God. But where's that going to wrap up? Well, if you belong to Christ, everything that belongs to Christ is yours. Because Christ belongs to God, and God's going to wrap up the end of the world. So you see how it makes sense then? Blessed are the meek, because meekness is required to come to Christ. And when you come to Christ, you have Christ and all that's his, including the end of the age and the kingdom, so that you could say, "Happy are the meek. Happy are the meek." This is a cultural adjustment for us who work hard to be on top. And humility and emptiness and meekness is the understanding of what we need to come to God, and it awakens in us the hunger for what we need most, which we'll look at next week. I say to you, when you strive to make yourself on top of everything, does it really bring you happiness? Have you never spoken to someone who said that when they got on top of their game, "Is this it? Is that all there is?" See, the way to the kingdom is meekness, humility, and gentleness. And may God help us that we'll be happy in this disposition wrought by the Spirit of God in us. Let's pray together. God, I pray that you will lead us as your people to a kind of willingness in our soul to be empty, to be gentle, to be meek, to be low. And I pray that you'll lead us into this disposition, even as it is that of our Lord Jesus. And when he said, "I am meek and lowly, come to me," I pray, Father, that we also shall. And I pray that we'll be gentle with each other, that we'll be merciful and kind, and that we'll be humble with each other, so that the likeness of Christ in us will be seen in all of our relationships in the family of God. We pray for this for your glory, and because you promised it, for our happiness, for our blessedness. And may it be that truly we experience the blessing of those who are meek, humble, and gentle. In the name of Jesus, we pray together. Amen.